sign up.
This is the OTP4D presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. With Farm Bureau Health Plans, you'll get lower deductibles and premiums and less hassle. Visit FBHP.com. With the co-hosts of Titans Countdown on Titans Radio, Rhett Bryan and Amy Wells, I'm Mike Keith. Time to break it down, looking at yesterday's 20-16 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. Early thoughts to begin, Rhett, Amy?
Didn't like it.
I'm sad.
I think we're like the rest of everybody else. We just, you know, it was deflating.
It was a game that I got very emotionally involved in early. I can usually be somewhat chill throughout at least the first half of a game. I started pacing a lot earlier than I normally do in a football game. And so I was just a little emotionally exhausted after that one.
You felt like it was going to come down to the last minutes. I mean,
yeah.
From the start you did. It was just, it had that feeling about it all day long. It was going to be an all-day sucker. And, you know, those are the type that you take the Excedrin before, during, and after the game.
Yeah, everyone in my family took a nap after the game. Everyone was just emotionally tired.
Wow, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, first down, your play that turned the game. Amy Wells, you take it first.
You know, it was right before the end of the first half, right before everything stopped. The Bengals had just scored that touchdown. The Titans have about 2 minutes left. And they put together an awesome two-minute drive at the beginning of it. I mean, they're moving down the field in like 10, 20-yard chunks. I mean, they're really moving. They're getting first down after first down. And then it all just kind of crashes and burns a little bit. You know, they're using timeouts really well. I even wrote down, what a great two-minute drive. I was so impressed with how everything was flowing. It felt like everything was clicking. And you felt like this is the momentum this team is going to get. They're going to score right before they go into the half. They get the ball back at the start of the third quarter. This is going to be awesome. And then they can't get any points out of it. They get down, they're within the 20, and they just, can't get anything to happen. And not being able to put any points on the board, they weren't able to score the touchdown. Shudak comes out, misses the field goal. So all of the sudden, you think, got to get seven. Okay, three's okay.
Lead at halftime.
And then you don't get anything. Right. Game is tied at 10, going into the half. And then they come on the other side, can't really get anything started. But it feels like if you can get some points on the board, if you can be leading at the half, you're in a really good spot. And the Titans just couldn't push it all the way through. And that, to me, was a real turning point in the momentum.
That drive, Mike, at one point, Ryan Tannehill was 6 of 6 passing.
Right.
It was amazing.
I mean, they were moving it. And, yeah, I can certainly see why you chose that for your first down. For me, it was 8:48 left in the fourth quarter, 3rd and 1. Ryan Tannehill hits Chigakonkwo for 17 yards. About 3 plays later, that leads to the Caleb Shudak field goal, 38-yarder. It's 20-16, and I'm like, okay, they're climbing back into this. There's a 4-point separation right there. They're alive. And I thought that was going to be the play that turned the game. Obviously, it did not turn out that way. But had they won, that's exactly what I'd point to.
Mine is 13:58 remaining in the game, 3rd and 12 for Cincinnati at the Tennessee 43. Joe Burrow throws right side to Trenton Irwin, the back shoulder throw for 16 yards, out of bounds at the Titans' 27-yard line. The Titans challenged the call. The ruling on the field is upheld. I thought he caught it, and I thought he caught it in bounds. I can see why you would think maybe he didn't, but I think when we saw the replay, there was certainly not evidence to indicate that it should be overturned. And then on the next play, Joe Burrow deep right to T. Higgins for a 27-yard touchdown. If that pass is not completed, they're punting because it's 3rd and 12 and the game's still tied at 13. Instead, he makes a great catch. Kevin Byard called it out today in the press conference saying, hey, great job by Irwin. I mean, fantastic catch. Great throw, great catch. And that's the type of play that wins you those games. That's why the Bengals won and the Titans lost, was because the Bengals made 3 or 4 of those outstanding plays. And to me, that was the play that turned the game. if it's not a completion, a punt, 13-13, we're still playing. Who knows what happens?
Right.
Instead, you're down 20-13, and suddenly you've got to come back and go get a touchdown, which the Titans were never able to do. They did get a field goal, but not a touchdown. Second down, Rhett Bryan, your stat that grabbed your attention.
Not able to get a touchdown. Red zone efficiency, 0-3. Coming into this game, you were number two in the National Football League in touchdown red zone efficiency at just a tick over 74%. You were going against the number one team in the Bengals at just a tick over 75%. 0-3 in that department, that is the stat that stood out to me because it ended up ultimately being the difference in the ballgame.
For me, it was 63 total rushing yards. That's usually what Derrick Henry has in a quarter. That's just for a team.
On one run.
Yeah.
Or maybe by halftime.
Right. For a team that is so run heavy, you got to find a way. And I know that they were trying every which way. It's not really anybody's fault. They were trying everything to get some traction in that run game. They just couldn't get it going. But incredibly frustrating when that's such a core part of your offense that those numbers are so low.
For me, it's Derrick Henry, 32 snaps. The Titans had 57 total offensive snaps, and Derrick Henry was on the field for only 32 of them. It's not a complaint about his usage. It's a complaint about the fact that they were in so many long yardage situations because they got nothing going on first down that they had to take him out and put Dontrell Hilliard in because he's the better pass catcher. He's the more versatile pass catcher. Or they put Hassan Haskins in the game because he's the better pass protector. They need to be in a situation in any game where Derrick Henry is playing 70 to 75 to 80% of the snaps, because that means they're running it, they're moving the chains, they're doing what they do. So that goes back to the overall. They're not running the ball well. And for it to be three straight games of this, it's a situation where you're saying right now, we got to figure something out. You know, the Titans pay a back for a reason, because he is the sun which this offense revolves around. They have to be successful with that if they're going to be successful with everything else. I'm pleased with the improvement in the passing game. It's much better. But they still only scored 16 points, and that's because in the red zone, without the run game, they weren't able to punch it in the way they want to, and they're not able to take full advantage of the pass game right now. They have got to be able to run it, so Henry's out there, so that threat is there all of the time. I went a little deeper.
That's a good one, though.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm very appreciative.
Yeah.
It's now halftime of the OTP 4D. Halftime is sponsored by Dunkin'. Introducing the new Dunkin' Rewards Program. Download the app to join today and start saving and stacking your way to the free Dunkin' you love. Dunkin' Rewards. Save them, stack them, use them how you want. America runs on Dunkin'. Terms apply. I now have over 1,000 Dunkin' points.
You do?
I actually, on Friday, went through all of the combinations of things that I can do with 1,000 Dunkin' points. I could get like 7 donuts. I could get like 2 or 3 coffees. I could get 2 breakfast sandwiches. Or
why do that math? Why don't you just show up and say, free drink?
Because
what a
treat. I'm doing it for the read on the OTP 4D.
Oh.
Because I'm always thinking about our sponsors, Amy, just like our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans, more than healthcare coverage, it's a better experience. Visit FBHP.com to learn more.
Can I have some of your rewards points?
You could, see, but you've got to learn how you incorporate
a sponsor
into like real conversation.
No, and that's phenomenal.
Just
hey,
like Kroger,
Dunkin'.
A sack for cash.
The segue is important.
The segue is important. It's what we do.
Hey, Dunkin', I'm tired. Would love some coffee. Did I do it?
That's pretty
good. Was that it?
Well, we'll see. If they give you coffee, yes. Third down. Amy Wells, you're up. It's the area where the Titans must improve from yesterday.
Well, the Cincinnati Bengals had 7 plays of 20 yards or more. And this was something that we all knew was going to happen. Mm-hmm. The Bengals have a bit of a history with the explosive plays. And so this isn't something that surprised the Tennessee Titans defense. This is something that they were actively preparing for, and yet it still happened. So getting ready to face the Philadelphia Eagles next week, I think that's something that needs to be cleaned up. You cannot allowed that many explosive plays in a game.
Rhett, Mike Vrabel said it on his news conference today. When you know what the keys are, when you talk about the keys, and when one of the keys is not giving up X plays, and for those who don't know, an X play is any offensive play of 20 yards or more. So Vrabel's talking about it. He goes, you know this is coming, as Amy said. You know you've got to stop it. You know it's a key, and you don't. That makes it even worse for you mentally because it's not like they didn't prepare. It's not like guys didn't buy in. They just didn't get it done.
Well, it's what Titans opponents frequently feel when they know they have to stop Derrick Henry and it's, you know, he runs for 250 in a game. But yeah, it's terrible.
Sure.
It's that ending to the movie that you know is coming and there's no script rewrite or change. It's going to happen.
Yep. You can't stop it.
Can't stop it.
But you got to figure out how to.
That's right.
This week.
Rhett?
For me, third down is what you were really hashing out in your second down. It's the run game. It's got to improve. 2.2, 3.1, and 2.8 yards per carry in the last three games.
That worked.
For Derrick Henry. That is what this thing is built around. You got to get the horse some room to make it happen. Whatever that is, you have to correct this right now.
For me, I'm going to steal an Amy Wells. It's penalties. 8 penalties for 57 yards. You were going to go there?
I was planning that as my honorable mention.
See, that's you can't do that because then you take them all. 8 penalties for 57 yards. I mean, they were just killers. The 8th penalty was really a killer.
Yes.
Because it took away a chance to at least go down and tie the ball game. I have a question for the two of you, hypothetically, and the OTPers, if you're listening. I'd be interested to know your opinion. If the Titans do get the ball back, 23-16, go down and score a touchdown, do they go for 2 and the win, or do they kick the extra point and go to overtime because they're at home? What are you going to say?
Rhett, go first.
I'm going to say they go for the 2-point conversion for 2 reasons. Windy weather, rookie kicker.
That's me too.
I say it depends on how you score.
And that's a fair answer too. And I'd say what you mean by that.
So if you throw it into the back of the end zone and he catches it in the corner, I say you just kick it and play into overtime.
Okay.
If you grind it in and just run it into their face and run it into the end zone, go for 2. It's a momentum thing for me.
Some of it too is in regards to probably how much time is left.
Yep.
If you score with 8 seconds to go, you're more likely to go for 2 than if you score with 38 seconds to go.
Agreed.
But, I would have thought in 90% of the cases you kick it, but because Shudak is new, and I thought Shudak did fine. I know he missed the field goal at the end of the first half.
That wind was
That
obnoxious.
Was obviously a weird wind situation, yeah. Because the one official I was watching on the left side of the upright, he came out like he was going to raise his arm up like the kick was good, and he looked at the other guy, and all of a sudden, they gave the no-good signal. And in watching it back, it looks like that kick is going to go through,
it
and
switched.
Then all of a sudden, it's pushed right. So overall, I mean, and they didn't lose the game because of Caleb Shudak missed that kick. I thought he did fine. I thought he did a decent job. Will be interesting to see if he's the kicker again this week at Philadelphia or if Randy Bullock can come back or if they have the two of them compete during the week, if Bullock is healthy enough to do that.
I like that scenario the best.
Well,
it's more fun.
But Craig Aukerman said last week in his press conference, he being the Titans special teams coordinator, the thing you fear is that Randy Bullock goes out, has a nice week, gets to pregame warmups, and then re-aggravates the injury. Because you're obviously not going to keep them both up for the game unless you said, okay, we want one to kick off and one to do the other.
You know, you bring up a valid point because during Mike Vrabel's presser today, he talks about what a violent action it is to kick
sure.
the ball. And so you're clearly force and inertia and strength and those things and the straining of muscles to make that action happen, which would make that a greater thing in possibility, given that he's nursing one right now.
All right. Fourth down, your player of the game, Rhett Bryan, gets to go first.
I mean, I think it's Ryan Tannehill. He's 22 of 34, 291 yards. I don't think there's many throws that he would like to have back. You know, it's no secret he went into a dark place after the playoff loss 10 months ago. He made sure he was not going to be the reason why this thing, you know, came apart. And listen, this was a close ball game because that is a good AFC team that, you know, is competitive. It's the reigning AFC champions.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think Ryan Tannehill did what he could do yesterday.
Minus Treylon Burks, because he was able to follow up an awesome performance in Green Bay with another awesome performance.
It's a great point.
We're starting to see what we always hoped we would see from him, which is consistency. It's able to make some of those big, exciting, contested catches. He has become the big play threat that the Titans needed. And seeing him follow up one performance with another performance of equal excitement and consistency says to me that he's kind of the real deal and that he's going to continue to build on this and become a pretty big weapon in the Titans offense.
Mine is Trey Avery, the undrafted rookie corner from Rutgers, who started the Buffalo game, and boy, that didn't go well for anybody.
No.
And then he didn't play any corner again until a couple of weeks ago. And he's gotten, I think it's a total of 50 snaps over the last three games, 18 yesterday. And he battled. I mean, he broke up some passes. He made some things happen. He was in excellent coverage. I thought he really played well. And to find that guy to play with that fearlessness is such a big deal. You know, he's an interesting story. He is the player who was named later. Do you know this story?
I do not.
Okay. So the start of his college career, he is committed to Virginia Tech. He is known as Kareem Felder. Kareem Felder. He signs a national letter of intent, not with Virginia Tech, but with Ohio State. Didn't qualify academically, so he transferred to Toledo, where he never practiced. He then transferred to Rutgers, and he did not appear in a game in 2017, played in two games in 2018. He's from Baltimore, and because of his close relationship with his mother, he wanted to change his last name. So he was going to go from Kareem Felder to Kareem Avery. And here's the quote, really interesting. "I was in high school, and I wanted to change my name to my mom's last name. I changed my first and last name. My mom chose Trey for me. She was going to name me that when I was first born." So he took his mom's last name, and his mom changed his first name to Trey. So he was a highly recruited player out of Baltimore that had offers from Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Miami, Nebraska, Iowa, Virginia Tech, and Rutgers, among others, according to 24/7 Sports.
Wait, he changed his first and last name in high school.
Can I say this?
In college.
In college.
Yes.
Can I say this for the OTP people? I enjoy story time with Uncle Mike.
Story time with Uncle Mike.
This is good stuff.
It's pretty
special. You do the digging. I had no idea. Changed his entire name.
Kareem Felder was what he was originally known as.
So what do you do with, like, your medical records? Or, like, your... Here's why my mind is so blown by this. I changed my last name because I got married, and that is a very normal thing to do.
Although you're still known as Amy Wells.
Although I'm still known as Amy Wells. So
that's your stage
name. Yeah, so there's a little confusion there. But, like, holy moly, what a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I don't know why humans do this. It's stupid. Like, I love my husband very much, blah, blah, blah. It's great to have the same last name. But... It's
wow.
not the,
that
but it's not
very
that,
emotional. Wow.
But it's not that great.
I wonder what Valentine's is like at their house.
It's heartfelt.
Yeah, really.
Very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But it's such a headache. Changing your first and last name?
Yeah. Well, Amy, I know the solution to all of this is I want to hear an interview on Titans Countdown with you and Trey Avery.
I just
ask him that question.
I want to shake that man's hand.
Well, first of all,
shake his hand about is taking on those receivers like
he
did
yesterday.
Listen, and if we found something in Trey Avery, if we found a little something in him that he can play a role in the secondary with McCrary, I mean, and to get one that's undrafted, I mean, here's a guy who at Rutgers Pro Day, he had a 38-inch vertical, a 10-3 broad jump, 40 times a 4.43 and 4.44, three cone was 6.69, 20-yard shuttle, 3.95. All very
good. Three cone, 6.69, no, very good.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. Very good. You know, Rutgers wasn't very good while he was there. And so it's hard to be a productive player when you're playing on bad defenses in a conference where you're getting used most of the time, which unfortunately for Rutgers was happening at that moment. So sometimes a player like that is undervalued because he can't show up like he's in Alabama's defense or LSU's defense or, you know, Georgia's defense or something like that.
Boy, you're right, though. If they found something in him that just makes this Titans defense more blessed in places that it than others, and it's funny that you make him your player of the game because you can't really read my writing because I'm left-handed. It looks like chicken scratch. But on my notes from yesterday, first quarter, three pass breakups on the Cincy first drive.
Right.
They ended up with six on the stat sheet. He had two of the six.
Right.
And I think he had one or two more in Green Bay,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's showing up.
He has this knack for being around the ball, but it's just like, man, there's something there.
Sure, sure. And, you know, I don't know if he's a starter or whatever, but I'm saying if you found a corner who can be on your 53, I mean, you can never have enough corners, ever. Because
no.
If you have this many corners, you can run every package you want to run. The Titans in yesterday's game were in a base 4-2-5. Their base was five defensive backs because Joe Mixon wasn't there, which is why it's a little easier to run on the Titans because they're a little smaller. But then in the long yardage situations, they went six defensive backs every single time. And, you know, they had some success. I mean, Joe Burrow didn't throw him silly. He threw for 270, and he completed a little over 60% of his passes. I mean, that wasn't – he threw one touchdown pass. That wasn't the end of the world bad, especially against Joe Burrow. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting. Headed to Philadelphia this week, Rhett and I have seen two good ones in Philadelphia. The 2014 one wasn't very good.
No.
It was Mark Sanchez.
Yes.
That was not
good. 2006 was fun.
2006 was a lot of fun.
I got serenaded in Philly in 2014.
By whom?
By some Eagles fans. At the end of the game, they were losing and got bored, started singing.
To you?
To me. Greatest hits. I mean, it was top 40 stuff. It was nice.
You know, was it obscene? Yeah. It was.
No, it was.
It was an alcohol induced?
It was totally alcohol induced.
Okay, they didn't throw batteries at you or anything?
No,
this is impressive.
They just got bored, and I was kind of standing in front of them, and they were like, let's sing for the girl.
Let's sing for the girl.
And so they did.
Yes.
That's my only Philly experience.
Well, 2000, the Titans played at the Vet. And won on an Al Del Greco field goal, his fifth of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the coldest I've ever been doing a game.
Wow. Oof.
In the old Vet.
In the Vet. And then 2006, the Titans beat the Eagles to start what would become a six-game win streak.
And bizarre circumstances, as Vince Young missed the charter. And showed up later. Javon Kearse is now playing for the Eagles. He was out with a knee injury at this point. But Kyle VandenBosch knocks Donovan McNabb in a tackle out of bounds on a run play. And Donovan McNabb tears his ACL. And
remember who they brought in?
They brought in Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia. That's right.
And then let's see what else happened in that
Travis
game.
Travis Henry
had a big game. Yes, he did.
That's also one of
Keith Bullock had a big play in that game,
Keith
too.
Keith Bullock got a lateral back from somebody to go in and score a touchdown
right
after a fumble. That's also the game that Norm Chow had scripted a play, a tight end screen to begin the game. And he was going to throw to Ben Troop. And Ben Troop didn't remember what he was supposed to do, so he stayed in and blocked. And they had to throw the ball into the ground. Vince Young had to spike the ball. It's just an incomplete pass because Ben Troop wasn't there. Had Ben Troop just turned around and they thrown him the ball, there was literally nobody in front of him. It would have been an 87-yard touchdown or something crazy. I mean, you could stop the tape, which Norm Chow did the next week for us. But Ben was not confident in what was going to happen.
So he just blocked.
So he said, I'm just going
to
block.
But that was a lot of stuff happened in the first trip to Lincoln Financial Field.
But it was a crazy time. And we're on the plane, and they're saying, Vince is not on the plane. It's like, he's what? And then Vince wasn't coming. He was not happy that they had left him behind. This is why you listen to the OTP. This is why.
Oh,
story
man.
Time with Uncle Mike.
Yeah,
I like
yes,
it.
Thank you very
I feel
much.
Like there's another sponsor coming.
Yes, it is. Who would sponsor that?
Some sort of bourbon,
alcohol,
yeah, alcohol, definitely alcohol,
or maybe or Werther's candies,
or Farm Bureau health plans. Maybe yes. They'll put out a candy for Uncle Mike. Farm Bureau health plans is the healthcare coverage the way it should be: high quality, sensibly priced, and easy to apply for at FBHP.com. For Rhett Bryan and Amy Wells, I'm Mike Keith, thanking you for listening to the OTP.
4 Deep.